Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Sukkah, Daf Lamed Hei. We begin 12 lines from the top with the Rebbe Omer, Lamed Hei Yomen Aleph. So Rebbe tells us, Rebbe Omer, Al Tikri Hadar, the Pasuk tells us, Lekatan Lechem B'Yom Arishon Pre-Eitz Hadar, don't read the word Hadar, Ella read it Hadir, which Rashi tells us, Pre-Eitz Shedome Ilono Ledir Shotzon. That it's the type of fruit on a tree that resemble the corral of a flock of sheep. What is that? My dear Zeh, Yeshbo Gidolim Uktanim. Just like in this flock of sheep, you have some larger sheep, some smaller sheep, Tamimim, some without blemishes, Balimumim, some with blemishes. So too on this tree, this Esrog tree, Hochanami, Yeshbo Gidolim Uktanim, large Esrogim, small Esrogim, Tamimim, those that are perfect, Balimumim, those that are blemished. And therefore, that's what it means when it tells us pre-Eitz Hador, it means pre-Eitz Hadir, one that is like a corral. Where it says, really? Atu shar peros lespo gedolim katanim tamim wali moment. What, an apple tree, an orange tree, they don't have larger fruits, smaller fruits, some fruits that are good without being blemished and some fruits that are blemished? How does that distinguish this as an esrog tree? So where it says, yeah, elohachi komar, what Rebbe was telling us is that this tree has, from different crops, from different years, they're still on the tree. Achiboyim Kitanim adayin gedolin kayomim. When this year's new smaller crop is coming in, last year's crop is still on the tree. All the apples fall off the tree. All the oranges fall off the tree at the end of that cycle, the end of that year, at the end of that season. But an esrog grows for several years, so you can have a one-year-old esrog, a two-year-old esrog, a three-year-old esrog on the same tree, all at the same time. That's what it means. Kitanim gedolim, and those that have tamimim and bali mumim. Rabbi Yavoam, Rabbi Yavo tells us the following is the drasha. He says, Al Tikri Hadar. Don't read the word Hadar again, pre-Eitz Hadar. El, read it Hadar. What does that mean, Hadar? It means Davar Shedor Be'ilano Mishana Lashana. It means the Esrogim from 1 year stay on. They don't necessarily all come off at the end of the year, but they go from 1 year to the next year, and therefore that's what it means, Hadar. It is not Hador, but Hador, it comes back and stays for a longer period of time. Again, Rabbi Yavo's drasha is exactly Rebbe's drasha. Finally, Benazi Omer, Benazi says, don't read the word Altikri Hador, Elo. Now, the word that we have is Idur in our Gemara, and in the Mesoras HaShas, he tells us it should be Hidor. What does this mean? Shekein Beloshon Yevoni Korin Lamayim Idur. That in Greek, the word Idur, Hydro, is the word for water. And it teaches us that this esrog tree must be a type of tree. It's pre-Eitz Hadar, ve'ezohi shegodel al kol mayim. It's able to grow under any water source. It grows in an irrigated field. It grows in a field that has enough from the rain. It doesn't require a specific type of field, a specific type of rain. It can grow in any type of a field. And that's what the word Hadar is coming to teach us. It means water, hydro, Idor. Now, this is a little bit strange because why are we using a Greek word to define a pasuk in the Torah? It seems very strange. So the Mefarshim explained the best answer, there are a number of answers that are given, but the best answer is that all the words originally were Hebrew words, and subsequently at the Tower of Babel, when we had the Maisa, where Nimrod tried to go up to Shemayim Kaviyochel and fight HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't let him build the Migdal Babel, the Tower of Babel, and instead they started speaking 70 different languages. And these languages all had their roots in Hebrew, so therefore there were some words that were Hebrew words originally, like this word Idur, which subsequently were no longer used in the Hebrew, but were just used in the Greek, but it's a root that really is a Hebrew root. Okay. Where it continues and says, Shalasheirah, Shalirani Dachas Possel. We quote the Mishnah where it said that an esrog that comes from an Asherity or from an Irani Dachas is Possel. So we already explained this multiple times with the other Dalaminim. So my time, why is it that it's Possel? Because Kivan the Lasreifa Koi, both the Asherah esrog that's actually worshipped as an esrog is Chayiv Sreifa, and an esrog that belongs to people from an Irani Dachas is Chayiv Sreifa. So therefore, Omei Lisarev Kisarev Dami, Kitusei Michsas Shiure. It's as if it doesn't have the size, the minimal size. We said yesterday it was the size of a walnut, the size of a beitza, so it doesn't have the minimal size, and therefore that's why it's not considered an esrog. Then we said, shall arla pasul, and we saw the shots that leads the word vav, shall arla pasul, and arla esrog is no good. How come? My taima. So this is a machlokas, pligabo Rabbi Chia bar Avin, the Rabbi Asi. Rabbi Chia bar Avin and Rabbi Asi said, the following two reasons. We don't know which one said which. We'll eventually prove that Rav Asi was the one that said a certain answer. In any event, what are the two possible answers? Chadamar, one of these two Amoraim said, Lefish ein bo heter achila. The reason why you can't use an esrog of arla is because you can't eat it. And the esrogim have to be lekachtim lochem. It has to be something that you can use. And therefore, it has to be something that you can eat. You've got to have benefit from it. And therefore, if you can't eat it because it's arla, so then you can't really get benefit. It's not called lochem. And therefore, it's possible. That's the first answer. Chadamar, the fish ain't bo din mama, because it has no value. You don't really own it if it has no value. And an esrog that is an arla esrog is asur b'hana, and therefore it has no value whatsoever. So these are the two reasons why an esrog of arla is no good. Now, on first blush, the Gemara says, kosol kadaiti, it appears that the two are mutually exclusive. Mande boy heter achila, the one that required that it be able to be eaten, even though you may not own it necessarily, but it has to be able to be eaten, lo boy din mama, doesn't have to be yours. And the one that said, mande boy din mama, the one that says it has to be yours, you have to have monetary value to it, lo boy heter achila, didn't necessarily say that you have to eat it. So, on first blush, the two are mutually exclusive reasons. Now, Gemara questions this and says, Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, Shel Truma Tumeya. Now, the Gemara said we have a psula, but it's really talking about an esrog, Shel Truma Tumeya. The esrog is masculine, and that's why it should be posul, rather than truma, which is feminine, and is psula. In any event, it should be Shel Truma Tumeya is posul. An esrog that comes from truma that's tumeya is posul. Now, Bishlam Alaman Diomar, Lefish Ein Bo Heter Achila, according to the Man Diomar that we just said one of these two reasons was you can't eat it or it's not worth any value, it's not something that you own. So according to the opinion that says it's because it can't be eaten. So yeah, we understand why a truma tumeya can't be eaten, and that's why it's possible. So that reason, it works out perfectly well with our Mishnah. Shapir, that works out perfectly well. Elaman Diomar, Lefish Ein Bo Din Mamon, but according to the opinion that said the reason is because it doesn't have monetary value, it's as if it doesn't belong to Achtam Lochem, it doesn't belong to us, it has no value. So then this Truma Tumeya does have monetary value. Amai, why would it be no good? Harei Mesika Tachas Tavshilo. You are allowed to get Hanoah from Truma Tumeya. You use it as firewood. You use it as a flammable type of object that you can use for keeping you warm or cooking. So therefore, why, according to that opinion, would it not be good? Skomor says you're right. Our original assumption that the two are mutually exclusive is not correct. Based upon our Mishnah, everybody says that it can't have heter achila. Ella beheter achila kuliyama lo pligi debainan. If you can't eat it, then everybody agrees that it's not going to be good because it doesn't fit into lekachtam lochem. You have to be able to benefit from it, and therefore, if you can't eat it, it's no good according to both opinions. Where there is a machlokas between the two opinions, ki pligi, do you also have to have bedin mamom? Does it also have to have monetary value? The first opinion was that, yeah, you just have to be able to eat it. As long as you can eat it, even though it technically has no monetary value, that doesn't make a difference. That's not going to ruin it. So according to that, even if it were to be something that has no monetary value, which we'll see in a moment what that would be, but as long as you can eat it, so therefore it would be good for an esrog. But the other opinion says not only has to be something that you can eat, it also has to have monetary value. What's the nafkamina between these two? If you can't eat it, so then it's no good according to everybody. So what difference does it make then is if it's edible, whether it has monetary value or not? So my benai, what's the difference? What's the nafkamina between these two? So the Gemara says, Ika benayu ma'isa sheni shebi Yerushalayim. If you have ma'isa sheni in Yerushalayim, and Alibo the Rebbe Meir, and you go according to the opinion of Rebbe Meir is the Shita that Ma'aser Sheni belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and while you have the right to use it, you don't own it. So therefore, Ma'aser Sheni in Yerushalayim is not considered monetary value for you. You can't be Mekadosh a woman with Ma'aser Sheni because it belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You have the right to use it, you have the right to eat it, but you don't have the right to use it as property. So therefore, the Nafkamina between these two would be according to Rebbe Meir, who says that Ma'aser Sheni has no monetary value, but you are allowed to eat it. So that would be the difference. And according to Rav Meir, Leman Diomar Lefish Ein Bo Heter Achila, according to the opinion that if you don't have a Heter Achila, then it is no good. So Harei Yishuva Heter Achila. So this does have Heter Achila, and therefore would be a good Esrog. However, Leman Diomar Lefish Ein Bo Din Mamon, who says not only has to be able to be eaten, but it also has to have monetary value. So then, according to Rav Meir, this has no monetary value. Ma'aser Sheni Mamon Gavolahu, it belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to say, and therefore it wouldn't be a kosher Esrog. So now we understand what the machlok is between Rabbi Chiya bar Ovin and Rav Asi. Now, let us now prove to Stayim the Rav Asi, let us prove that Rav Asi is the one that said the Amar Lefi She'ein Bo Din Mamot. He was the one that said it has to have both edible and that it has to have monetary value.
Why do we know that? Because the Amar Rav Asi taught us Esrog Shal Ma'aser Sheni. If you have an Esrog of Ma'aser Sheni, so he brings down the Shita. Lefi Divrei Rav Meir, Ein Adam Yotzei Bo'o Yidei Chavaso B'Yontif. You can't use it to fulfill your obligation because it has no monetary value. According to Rav Meir, it's Esrog Shal Ma'aser Sheni, so it doesn't belong to you, it's Mamun Gavoho. And that's exactly what we just said. That opinion who holds that it has to be monetary value as well as being edible, so it would be edible here, but it wouldn't have monetary value. So according to Rav Meir, it would be no good. And according to the Chachamim that argue Rav Meir and say that Ma'aser Sheni is not Mamun Gavoha, the Divrei Chachamim are the Yotzei Bo'o Yidei Chavaso B'Yontif because it belongs to you. What do you clearly see? That this opinion, which was said by Rav Asi, holds that you need both achila and monetary value, tistayim. We have a clear proof that Rav Asi was the one that said that opinion. And the other opinion, Rechia Bar Ravin, was the one that said it only needs to be ochal, it has to be something that's a bar achila, even though it has no monetary value, even though you don't own it in the sense that it belongs, let's say, to HaKadosh Baruch. Now, let's go back and discuss this a little bit more. Gufa. We just said, Amar Rav Asi, Esrog Shal Ma'aser Sheni, L'Divrei Rav Meir, Ein Adam Yotzei Bo'o Yidei Chavaso B'Yomtiv, and L'Divrei Chachamim, Adam Yotzei Bo'o Yidei Chavaso B'Yomtiv. As we just explained, the crux of the matter is, does it have monetary value? Rav Meir says, no, it's Mamun Gavoha, and therefore it's not good to be used, because you need both Achila and monetary value, and the Chachamim say, no, this does have monetary value, because it's not Mamun Gavoha, and therefore it has both properties, Achila and Mamun, and therefore it is good. Now the Gemara continues and says, Matzah shall Ma'aser Sheni, if you have matzah of Ma'aser Sheni, so again, it has no monetary value, according to Rabbi Meir. So, L'divrei Rabbi Meir, according to Rabbi Meir, who says that it belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Adam Yotzei Bo'o Yidei Chavaso B'Pesach, you can't fulfill your obligation with matzah of Ma'aser Sheni. Now we'll see in a moment why, but that's the statement the Rav Asi said, that according to Rabbi Meir, you also need the matzah to belong to you. And the Divrei Chachamim, that it does have monetary value, so Adam Yotzei Bo'o Yidei Chavaso, you can't fulfill your obligation with matzah shel Ma'aser Sheni B'Pesach. Now, Isa shel Ma'aser Sheni, a dough that is made up of Ma'aser Sheni, if you have a sufficient size dough that you would have to take off the truma known as challah from this dough, so then, if you have a dough of Ma'aser Sheni, is it obligated in taking off challah or not? So again, we have the same thing. According to Rav Meir, who says it's Ma'aser Gavoha, Ma'aser Sheni is Ma'aser Gavoha, the Divrei Rav Meir, it is exempt from having to take off challah, but truma challah, because you only take off challah from something that you own. The Divrei Chachamim chayev es b'challah. And according to the Chachamim, it belongs to you, and therefore it's chayav in challah. So we have three examples. We have our esrog example, we have the example with matzah, and we have the example with challah. All three of them seem to be similar. But the more questions is, Maskava Rav Papa Esan Rav Asi says, wait a second, I understand Bishlama Isa, I understand the dough has to belong to you. So Rav Meir says it doesn't belong to you, and it's exempt from challah. The Chachamim say it does belong to you, so it's chayav in challah. So how do I know that it has to belong to you? Because Ksiv Rashis Ariso Seichem, Ariso Shelochem. So I understand that it has to belong to you, and that's why if it belongs to you, according to the Chachamim, you'd have to take off challah, and if it doesn't belong to you, like Rav Meir, you don't have to take off challah. Very good. That's what I understood. And Esrog Nami, Esrog certainly we understood, Ksiv Lochem, Lekachtem Lochem, Mishalochem, it has to belong to you. So regarding the challah obligation, I understand clearly it's a machlokas Rav Meir and the Chachamim. Regarding the Esrog, I understand clearly it's a machlokas Rav Meir and the Chachamim. But what about matzah? Where does it say by matzah that it has to belong to you? Ela matzah. Mi kisiv matzah schem. Does the pasuk say you have to go take your matzah? It says take matzah. Who says it has to belong to you? So therefore, why would Rav Meir say that you're not yotzi the mitzvah of matzah on Pesach night if you don't use your own matzah? I.e., if you use my sersheni matzah, you're not yotzi because it doesn't belong to you. So Amar Rabba Bar Shmuel, Vitema Rabbi Yemar Bar Shalmiya, either one of these two Amaroyim explained, because we have Xavier Shava, Lechem, Lechem, that compares the obligation of the matzah on Pesach night to the obligation to take off from a dough, challah. It says over here by Pesach night, Ksiv Hocho, Lechem Oni, it says, referring to the matzah, that has to be Lechem Oni. Ksiv Hosam, it says, regarding taking off the challah, we turn to Lamed Hei, Omid Beis, it says, V'ayor b'achochem mi lechem o'aretz, it says the word Lechem over there as well, that when you eat from the Lechem of the Aretz. So we have Xer Shavu, Lechem Lechem, to compare the din of taking off challah to the din of matzah on the first night of Pesach. Ma'al hala mishalochem, just like by the chiyuv of challah, it has to be your dough, shalochem, v'lo mishal ma'aser sheni, and not for ma'aser sheni, avkan mishalochem, v'lo mishal ma'aser sheni. And so too by matzah, it has to be yours and not ma'aser sheni. According to Rav Meir, ma'aser sheni doesn't belong to you. Whenever the Gemara says stam ma'aser, it always means ma'aser sheni. Okay. Now, we've proven it. Gemara now says, Lema Masayle, let us bring a raya from a braisa to Ravasi. The braisa says, Beferish, Isa Shomai Sasheni. If you have a dove my Sasheni, Petur Menachala. It has no chiyah to take off chala. Divi Rav Meir. That is the opinion of Rav Meir because it has to be yours, and my Sasheni is Mamun Gavo and doesn't belong to you. As opposed to the Chacham, they disagree. The Chacham Amar Rim, Chayev is B'chala. No, it belongs to you, it's not Mamun Gavoah, and therefore you're Chayev to take off Chala. So let us say that this Braisa supports what Rav Asi said. Where it says, really, it supports it? It's exactly the same thing. Lema Messiah Lay? What are you telling me that this is, oh, it's a supportive statement to this Braisa? It's the exact same thing that Rav Asi said. Of course it supports it. It's the exact words of Rav Asi. Or says, no, not necessarily so. Ella, you could have argued that the Braisa says as follows. Mi debaha pligi, since they're arguing regarding the chala obligation, does there in fact have to be taken off the chala from a dough of the sufficient size if it's Maisa Sheni? Rav Meir says no, and the Chachamim say yes. So baha nami pligi. So too, in regards to matzah and in regards to esrog, bastama, they have the same machlokas. Or maybe not. Odilmo may be shiny Isa. The only reason why they're arguing is by a dough, by Isa, because the Pasuk says, the Omar, Krah, the Pasuk tells us, Ariso Sechem, Tre Zimne. It tells us twice the Lashon of Ariso Sechem. The first Pasuk says, Reishis Ariso Sechem, Chalo Terimu Truma, Kitrumas Gorin, Kain Terimu Osa. And the second Pasuk says, May Reishis Ariso Sechem, Tidnu Lashem, Truma Lador Sechem. So you have two Psukim over here. Chaf and Chaf Aleph in Perek Tezvav in Bamidbar that tell us that you have to take off Ariso Sechem. So maybe only by Chala is there a machlokas between Rav Meir and the Chachamim. But you know what? Taka by Esrog, Taka by Matzah, there is no such machlokas. So therefore, that's why we said Lema Masayle, maybe this should be a raya to Rav Asi Shita, but Lav Tafka that it's an absolute proof because he only says it over here in regards to Chala. He doesn't say it in regards to matzo or esrog. Then we quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Shel truma tumeya pesula. Again, we have the extra hay. The Mishnah says, Shel truma tumeya pasul. So the Gemara says, why? Again, we said it already, the less behant rachila, because if you can't eat it, truma tumeya is not allowed to be eaten by anybody. You're allowed to burn it. You can use it as firewood, but you can't eat it. So according to both of the opinions that we had, Rav Chiya bar Ravin and Rav Asi, they both said that you need to have the heter achila, and therefore truma tmeya also doesn't have heter achila, and that's why you can't use an esrog of truma tmeya. But v'shel truma Torah lo yito, the Mishnah had said truma Torah you shouldn't use l'chadchila, but b'diavid you could use it. Now, why? Pligabo Rav Ami v'Rav Asi. Rav Ami and Rav Asi had a machlokas. We don't know which one said which. Chad amar mipnei shemachshira. One of them said the reason why you can't use truma Torah l'chadchila is because you're going to touch it and you may get water onto it. If you get water onto it, it's going to become mukshal kabel tuma, and you have to do everything in your power not to let truma become tumeya. And by making it mukshal kabel tuma, it could more easily become susceptible to tuma, and therefore don't use it for your lulav and esrog, because they used to put the lulav and esrog into water to keep it nice and fresh, and therefore there's water around, and the water can easily get onto the esrog and be machshir lekabel tumah. So therefore, don't use truma Torah lechatchila. That's one reason. Mimnei shemachshira. The other opinion, either Rav Ami or Rav Asi, said v'chadamar mimnei shemafsida, because guess what? If you're using truma Torah at the end of the 7 days, when you kept on touching the esrog for 7 days, so the outer part of the etzo is going to look very not nice. And therefore, you're not going to want to eat it. You're not going to want to use it for food. And therefore, you're being maksid truma tahora, which you're not allowed to do. So these are the two reasons, either mipnei shemachshira or mipnei shemafsida. Is there a nafkamina between these two differences? So the Gemara says, yeah, my benayu, what's a nafkamina? For example, kagon shekara l'ashem, chutz mikli pasa chitzona. If you declare it to be truma, but you declare only everything inside the peel, inside the outer peel is truma, but the outer peel is not truma. In the situation, l'mandi omer b'nei shemachshira, if you're worried about making it susceptible to b'mekabel tumah, so then ika, yeah, it doesn't make a difference whether it's truma or not truma, whether the outer peel is not truma or is truma is irrelevant in terms of is it mukshal kabel tumah. Something that's not truma can also be makabel tumah. So therefore, ika, in this situation, it is mukshal kabel tumah. However, l'man de'omar b'nei shemafsida, because you're not allowed to go be mafsid truma, well, guess what? If you didn't make the outer part truma, so you're not being mafsid truma. You'll cut away the mushy outer part, and you'll eat the inner part, which is a truma, and you won't be mafsid the inner part at all. So this would be a nafkamina between whether you say m'bnei shemachshira or m'bnei shemafsida.
So therefore, according to the opinion that says Machshira, you do have that over here, Ika, and Laman Diyamah B'nei Shemafsida, Lekka. And according to the other opinion, you don't have it. Then we quote the Mishnah, but Bidi Eved, if you're not Tachshir, if you did take the Truma Tahora, it is good, because after all, it is edible, and it belongs to you. Gemara says, Laman Diyamah B'nei Shem B'Heter Achila, according to the opinion that says, by Arla, that it has to have Heter Achila, and Arla, or for example, Truma Tumeya, they don't have a Heter Achila, so then, in those situations, Hare Yesh Bo Heter Achila. The Truma Tahora does have a Heter Achila. And according to the opinion that says, Lefi Laman D'Omer, that it not only does it have to have Heter Achila, but Laman D'Omer, Lefi Shein Bo Din Mamo, this was Ravasi, that it said, not only does it have to have a Heter Achila, but also has to belong to you. So Hare Yesh Bo Din Mamo. Everybody's masking, even Rav Meir, that Truma belongs to the Kohen. And therefore, it has both Achila and Heter Mamo. Then the Mishnah said, however, Vishol Dumai, if you have something that is suspect that it wasn't taken off Trumas and Mises, it belonged to an Amma Aretz, so you have to go and retake Trumas and Mises from it, so therefore it's something that a person can't eat without taking off Trumas and Mises, so Dumai is not yet edible. So Beishamai says it's no good, but Beispil said it's good. How come? It needs to be edible. We understand Beishamai, they say it's not edible, so therefore that's why it's no good. But according to Beispil, why is it good it's not edible? So Gemara says, no, kivon di'i boy a mafkil hu l'nechseh, if a person wishes to, he could be mafkir all of his property and become an ani, the heavy ani, and as a result, he'd be destitute. And now, the chazilei, a poor person is allowed to go and eat demai. He doesn't have to take off trumas and maises from it. And therefore, hashtonami lochem karina bay. Since you could declare all your property hefker, and you could therefore make yourself into a destitute person, an ani, so therefore it is considered hashtanami lochem karina be, it is considered as if it's yours, and that's why Beis Hillel says that it's good. And where do we know this? Where is this principle found? It's not, because we learned in the Mishnah in Demai, where it tells us machilin esuanim demai, that we are allowed to go. Now the Gersa that we have in our Gemara is ein, but the word ein is in parentheses, and the real Mishnah is machilin hoanim demai. You are allowed, in fact, to go and feed poor people demai, and likewise, you can also feed a garrison of troops, v'es achsanya, that's a garrison of troops, demai. You can also feed them demai. When, for example, a garrison of troops comes into town, and they expect the people in the town to feed them, so you don't have to take off trumas and maisis again. What you're allowed to do is give them the demai lechatchila. Now, on this Mishnah, demai, the Gemara says, Ubei Shammai disagrees. Ubei Shammai says, Oni lo ochel demai. They hold that an oni is not allowed to eat demai. And that's why it's no good. The Tanan, because they hold, based upon this Mishnah, again, we delete the word ein, machilin ho'aniim demai, v'esach sanoim demai, that you are allowed to feed the poor people, the Mishnah said, demai, or the garrison of troops, you're allowed to feed them demai. And on this, Rav Huna darshin, that's not according to everybody. Tana, he says in a price, we learned that Beishamai disagree. Beishamai amrim, no. Ein machilin esuanim v'esach sanoim demai. That's mistumble why we had the word ein over there, because that was Beishamai's opinion. But the Mishnah is not listed with the word ein. The Mishnah says machilin. It's Beis Shammai who disagrees with that Mishnah. They're entitled to disagree with the Mishnah. And they say that you're not allowed to feed aniyim or the achsanoim demai, whereas Beis Hillel is the author of a Mishnah. Beis Hillel omrim, no, machilin sanoim demai, ves achsanoim demai. You can't feed them demai. And therefore, that's why Beis Hillel says that you could use demai, an esrog of demai, to be yotzi the mitzvah, because technically you could be mafkir or your property and become an ani, and therefore you could use it, and therefore you fulfill lakachtim lochem. It has to belong to you. Now, what is this idea of feeding the aniyim demai or the achsanoyim demai? So Tosos, in the Ramasal Machilin, says, this is a Mishnah, the third parak of demai. However, the Gemara in the Yerushalmi argues with it. The Rabbi Yonah Omar, ba'aniyim chaveirim. In the Gemara in the Yerushalmi, it brings down from Rabbi Yonah that it's only talking about aniyim that are tamidei chachamim, and an achsanya, Rabbi Yeshua, the mafarish hasum shem Yisrael. It's a Jewish garrison of troops. The Rabbi Yossi disagrees. Rabbi Yossi Amar Baniyim Amei Aretz, even Aniyim Amei Aretz, he Ubachsanya Nochri, and with a garrison even of foreign troops, non-Jewish troops. Then we quote the Mishnah again, and it says, Vishel Meiser Sheni Shem Yerushalayim. If you have Meiser Sheni in Yerushalayim, an Esrog from that Meiser Sheni is allowed to be used to fulfill the mitzvah. Now, again, we said before there are two reasons why Truma Tahora shouldn't be used L'Chachila, and Truma Tahora and Maisa Sheni Yerushalayim have similar dinim. So,
According to the opinion that we said before by Truma Torah, it would apply to Maaseh Sheni as well. Because you're not allowed to go and do anything that will make your Truma or your Maaseh Sheni lost, so you shouldn't make it Mukshel Kabel Tuma. So that's why L'chadchila, you shouldn't use Maaseh Sheni Yerushalayim. Hari Machshira, because if you get it wet, you're being Machshira L'Kabel Tuma, and that's something you shouldn't do L'chadchila. But according to the man, the Amar Mimeshim Mafsida, according to the opinion that says, because you're going to ruin it, so then, Harim Mafsida, you're going to ruin the Maaseh Sheni Yerushalayim as well, if you use it for an Esrog. So the same dinim that applied by Truma Tahora applied to Maaseh Sheni L'chatrila, and Bidiyevet, both of them would say that it's good. Because you fulfill Achila, and you fulfill that it belongs to you, according to the Chachamim, albeit according to Rav Meir, it doesn't belong to you, and he would say it's no good. Finally, we quote the Mishnah and says, again, if you took any of these things, including Maaseh Sheni of in Yerushalayim that was tar, you are Yotzei. Now, Laman Di Amar Bnei Shein Bohet Rechila, again, the same achlos we have before, Rechia Baravin and Rabasi. According to Rechia Baravin, who says that it only has to have Achila, but it doesn't need to have ownership, doesn't have to have mammon. So according to that opinion, so then divrei hakol, then everybody would agree that bidyevet, if it took maaseh sheni, would be good. But according to the opinion of Rav Asi, l'man d'yomer l'fi she'ein bo din mammon, that not only does it have to be edible, it has to have achila, but it also has to have mammon. So then, homani, who would be the author of our mission that said bidyevet, it's good? It's obviously not Rav Meir. It obviously is the Chachamim. Rabbanon, it must be the opinion of the Rabbanon, because they say it belongs to you, as opposed to Rav Meir, who would say it belongs to Gavoa, belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then we start talking about some of the blemishes on an esrog. Also, chazazis, if you were to go and have pustules or blisters or boils on the majority of the esrog, we said it was no good. Amr Chista, Chista says, Davazer Rabbeinu Agadol Amaro, this thing, our great teacher, Rav. Rabbeinu Agadol here is reference to Rav. And we had this on Lamed Gimel, Lamed Aleph as well. And I think by accident I said there was Rabbeinu HaKadosh, or Yehuda Nasi. Now, there is a Hagos HaBach over there that says that it possibly, in other places, it could be Rabbeinu HaKadosh, being Rebbe, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, and not Rav. But over there, it meant that it was Rav too, and here it should be Rav and not Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. Both Rebbe, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, and Rav were the Rabbanim of Klal Yisrael, and they were known as Rabbeinu HaGadol. Okay, in any event, Rav Chisda says, this thing that our great teacher Rav taught us, Hamakom yeh be'ezro, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should always come to his azara, should always come to his aid. Lo shanu ela b'makom echad. We said that the chazazis is only going to ruin it if it's majority in one place, if it's all connected. However, avo b'shnayim u'shosh b'kamos, if the chazazis is found in several places on the esrog, even though it's the majority of the esrog kosher, it still would be good. Gemara says, really? Now again, we said this on Lama Gimel of an Aleph as well. Amalei Rava. Rava didn't probably speak to Rav Chisda. And some aren't Goris over there, Omar Lay, and they're not Goris over here, Omar Lay. So it should be Omar Rava. And Rava said, Adiraba, that doesn't make sense. Makes sense to say the exact opposite. If you have Mishnayim, Mushlosha, Makomos, so therefore it's all over the place, Havalei Kimenumar, it's like a spotted Esrog Upasal, it looks ugly. If it's all in one place, it doesn't necessarily look ugly. So therefore, Pum Faker, it should be the exact opposite. So Gemara says, you're right, Eli Itmar. And in fact, Rav Chisda said something, it was on the Sefer. When he commented on the thing that he heard from Rav, it was on the Sefer of that Mishnah. A Sefer Yidmar. Al Miyuto Kosher, we said that if you have the Chazaz, it's only on a small part of the Esrog, on a Miyut, a minority of the Esrog, then it's Kosher. And on that, Omer Rav Chisda, Dovazer Rabbeinu HaGadol Amaro, this thing Rav taught us, V'amokim Yemei Esrog, HaKosh Baruch should always come to his aid. Lo Shana, we only said that it's in that situation acceptable, Ela b'mokom echad, if the small amount of the chazasis was in one place. However, avo b'shnayim u'shlosha makomos, even if it's a minority, but if it's in two or three places, havalei kiminumar, it's like a spotted, like a nomer, like we said, a leopard, and it looks ugly, upasul, and it's no good. Amar Rava, Rama tells us another din, he says, v'al chotmo, the chotem normally literally means the nose. But on an esrog, you have a number of different opinions. And there's a very good diagram in the art scroll next to footnote number 26. And if you look at the Perish Chai on diagram number 561, it also
clearly shows you all the different shitos that we have amongst the Rishonim. So the Chotem, if you have this Chazazis on the Chotem, so Afilu B'mashu, even if you have even a small amount of a blemish there, Nami Pasul, it's no good. Now we have the sheet of Rashi, which says that it's from the port, if you go up from the bottom, from the Okitz of the Esrog, and you go all the way up to the part where it starts to slope. So at that point, that around at that circumference of the Esrog, where it starts to slope, over there, if you have any Chazazis, it's no good. The Rush, which is how we really Paskin, says it's from that area all the way up to the top. And you have different opinions as to exactly what part of the top. And people are very careful in Makbid not to have any blemish on the upper third or the upper part of the Esrog where it starts to slope. And that's what we said. Rava said, Afilu b'mashu nami pasul, having any blemish over there would make it pasul. Then we said in the Mishnah, Nitla Pitmah, so if the Pitim was taken off, so then it's no good. Tanur Yitzhak ben Elazar, Yitzhak ben Elazar said, Nitla Buchanto. He says, when we're talking about the Pitim, we're talking about the Buchanto. The Buchanto is like the straight part that goes up to the top part of the Pitim, which is known as the Shoshanta. The Shoshanta is like the circular bud, the cap that's on top of the stick, the part that we call the pestle, that is the Buchanto. So that's the part. If the little top part is missing, the Shoshanta, that wouldn't make it possible. But if the stick part, the what we call the Pitim, the part that's connected to the Esrog, connecting that to the Shoshanta, that stick part, so that would make it possible if that was missing. Again, we mentioned previously, assuming it had one. Some Esrogim are grown without the Pitim, or the Pitim falls off very, very early in the growth of the Esrog, so that would not be a psul. Mishnah continues and says, Niklaf, if the Esrog was peeled, is also pasul. On this, Amar Rav, Rav said, Hay Esroga, the Iglid Kiahina Subka. If you have an Esrog that has become Niklaf, it's become peeled, and it's so much so peeled that it looks like a Ahina Sumka. Ahina is a Tamra, Sumka means Aduma. So you've peeled this Esrog, so you essentially have what looks like a red date. And he says, "Avzel li achar shenichlaf nepach li admumis kidera kol aniklaf in the peris." So it changes colors after you peel it. Like every fruit, if you peel a fruit, you peel an apple, so all of a sudden the white inside part of the apple starts to become a darker color. So if you peeled off the entire esrog, so that it's now reddish, like a date, so then it's actually kshera. It's perfectly good. That's what Rava said. V'ha'ad nan t'nan niklaf pasul. More questions, Rava. You're an Amori. You don't go against our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said that if you peel it, it's no good. Rava says, no, there's no stira between what Rava said in our Mishnah. Lokasha, there's no stira. Now we go to Lamed Vav and Aleph. Ha bechula, ha bemiksasa. It depends whether it's all peeled off or only partially peeled off. The way Rashi understands it is if it was all peeled off, then it's kosher. And if it's miktsos, if it's partially peeled, then it's pasul, because now it's going to look menumar. It's going to look spotted. You're going to have parts of it that are the yellow normal color, and you have other parts that are this reddish color. It's going to look spotted, and that's no good. But if paradoxically, you peel the entire etzrog, so it's all going to be one nice reddish color, therefore it's kosher. That's the way Rashi understands this. Others understand it pumfaker, the exact opposite. That when the Gemara says habakula, that it is no good when all of it is peeled off. When the Mishnah said niklap is pasul, that's talking about all of it being peeled off. And when it says that Rav made a comment that if it's red like a date, then it's good, that's only when small parts of it are peeled off, and that little bit of red doesn't ruin it. With this, we conclude today's shir.